Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Documentarian RJ Cutler just did a wonderful Belushi doc, and who's also doing a
Billie Eilish.
Billie Eilish doc that's much anticipated, coming out in February. He's going to be on. Interesting guy. We'll talk to him in a second. And we'll do the news. First, I'll tell you about Madison Reed. So there's Madison Reed, and Madison Reed is, they make fine hair colorings for women. Lynette loves this stuff. And many of the ladies around here use it. And now they make Madison Reed Mister. So what that does, it's a very natural, great blending, natural-looking color for your hair and beard. You can check out the before and after shots on their website. They look great. No shoe polish look. It's real easy to use. Maybe just want a little more pepper and a little less salt. Well, Madison Reed makes it easy. Find the color. Match it on your website. Get the kit. It's a little kit, comes, put the gloves on, apply the color gel, and then the activator. Wait 10 minutes, then rinse and shampoo, and they'll deliver it right to your door. It's Madison Reed Mister, right, Dawson?
Go to MadisonReedMister.com. That's MadisonReedMR.com. And use code Adam10 for 10% off plus free shipping on your first box. Again, that's code Adam10. Adam Carolla's I'm Your Emotional Support Animal, navigating our all-woke, no-joke culture, has over 1,000 five-star reviews on Amazon. Here's one.
This book is prescient in comedy and window. This Adam wrote long ago, the now coming to pass and reality.
Yep. Sounds about right. Pick up I'm Your Emotional Support Animal, navigating our all-woke, no-joke culture, and leave your five-star review on Amazon. Get all the links at adamcarolla.com.
R.J. Cutler is on, filmmaker, documentarian, TV producer, and beyond. The doc is called Belushi. It's available now on Showtime. And I just saw the trailer because I was traveling around a little bit in the last couple of days. So I shall watch it tonight when I get home on Showtime, because I love a doc and I love Belushi. And it's 100%, so says the audience on Rotten Tomatoes. So how bad can it be? 85 with the critics, which is still well into the fresh zone. So congratulations, RJ.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we don't like the reductive nature of Rotten Tomatoes, needless to say, but we are very gratified with the response to the film.
How did you've made docs on many, many subjects, often political. So how'd you settle on Belushi?
It was proposed to me by my producing partner on this project, a man named John Batzik, who had he and I had made a film together about Marlon Brando, and we were looking for a next project. And he revealed to me that he had, for the better part of a decade, been pursuing Judy Belushi to get the rights. And he thought that with my directing and with the Brando film as a piece we could share with her, that that the time might be right. And sure enough, it was. Interestingly, she had fended him off in many ways over the decade, one of which was in encouraging him to have lunch with Jim Belushi. And when John arrived at that lunch, he was, as I understand it, he was told no uncertain terms that there would be no documentary made, and he went back to the drawing board. But when we approached her as a team, she felt the time was indeed right.
Well, I've made a few documentaries, and you don't need the family to sign off. I mean, you can still make the documentary, but on the other hand, there's a lot of archival footage and personal artifacts and things like that can be really helpful if you get their blessing. So is it that meaning they can't prevent you from making a documentary, but if they cooperate, the doc could be much better?
Well, it depends on what kind of a film you're making. We tend to the movies I make all of the films I've made, I've done so with the willing cooperation of the subject, though I have Final Cut and retain Final Cut, and they're not involved in the making of the film. But as this film is an example, without Judy, we would not have had access to the oral history that, when you watch the film, you'll see is kind of the foundation of the film. We had access to all of these interviews that were conducted in the wake of John's death with his closest friends. So you wouldn't have had Penny Marshall and Carrie Fisher and Harold Ramis and even for the folks who are still alive, it's 35 years since his death. The voices you hear in this movie are voices that are recorded within a few years of his death. It's very different.
Yeah. So was that part of a failed book project that I assume many years before this documentary materialized?
It was a multi-faceted project that it was a reaction, really. And then the reaction has borne a number of different results. It was a reaction to Bob Woodward's book Wired, which Judy felt failed to communicate who the real John Belushi was. And as a result, she, working with a couple of friends of hers, one of whom is a journalist named Tanner Colby, set out to conduct this oral history over many years. In about 2004, I think 2003, a kind of tip of the iceberg of that work was published in a book called Belushi. And then those audio tapes went back into the box and sat around in the basement of Judy's house in Martha's Vineyard until I discovered them and used them in this film.
Is Belushi, you know, we always talk about celebrities and celebrity estates and, you know, how much money Steve McQueen's estate earns, you know, long after he's gone. And of course, there's the Marilyn Monroes and the Elvises and the Michael Jacksons and stuff like that. How much is there in the Belushi estate? I'm not sure, or maybe you don't know, but I mean, is his wife comfortable? Does she have to work? Is there royalties and that? I mean, they did music, which I guess is a pretty big part of it. Do you know about that?
I don't. That's something, I mean, I don't know. Beats
Fair
me.
Enough. Yeah.
Keep in mind, Adam.
I don't think they know much about my finances.
Keep in mind, Adam, they didn't write those songs for the Blues Brothers. Most of them. Most of those were like covers and standards.
Yeah,
great covers, great standards.
No, you're right. They don't get publishing on that. Yeah. Well, you know, when you make documentaries, we can do the math.
Can I ask you?
Can you really? What do you want to go? Documentaries versus podcasts?
Well, personally, I make a lot more doing podcasts than I do making documentaries. But that's just me.
I'm sure you do. We do it for the love. Yes, documentarians do it.
If you can break even, you're doing okay, but you're adding to your catalog and you're getting those stories told. Yes, Brian.
Question about the tapes you mentioned that were, you know, in the basement in Martha's Vineyard. What was the quality of those? Did they have to be touched up or were they damaged or were they pretty spanking new?
Yeah, it's such a good question. There was a range of quality and a lot of the audio had to be restored, but it gave the film a texture that I really liked. You feel somehow as though a little bit voices from the past are arriving in your present moment. You know, I had started to talk to people about John, people who knew him and were relating their memories to me, as I say, 3 and 4 decades hence. And I found them all to be kind of lost in the foggy haze of days long gone by. And the stories were a little ossified. They were kind of telling me the stories that they tell when they tell their John Belushi stories. And then when we listened to the tapes, even though the quality wasn't pristine, I felt very much like we were in the moment, very present, very raw, very, very Belushi. You know, people really were connecting to the emotional heart and soul of their experience.
That's so serviceable. When you say it like that, it's like that they tell the story they pull out at a cocktail party. And we're not as interested in that.
Yeah, well, it's not going to, you know, you're going to make a movie about John Belushi. You got to, you know, you got to, first of all, you got to bring your A game. And second of all, you want the rawness. The whole idea with this film was to make a movie about what it was like for John Belushi to live. You know, I was very not focused on the what has become the kind of traditional focus of his life story, which is the salacious stuff around how he died. Right. He died, you know, we all go sometime. So his was early and his was tragic, but what made it so was the life. And we really focused on the life, and these interviews that were done in the years following his death really gave us the ability to do that. And there wasn't a lot of John, you know, because he was a very private guy. And when he gave interviews, he tended to be very performative. So what we did have, though, were letters that he wrote to Judy throughout his life, which are brought to life in the film by Bill Hader, who reads them beautifully. And then we also have a lot of audio recordings of John that we brought to life through animation. An animator named Robert Valley, who's an Oscar-nominated Canadian outlaw animator. He's not allowed in the States for reasons I'm not aware of. He did the animation, and it's fantastic. He did a great job.
I wrote down in my notes the animation was great. I really enjoyed it.
Do you have other subjects that you're thinking about lined up in the queue? Because I guess when you make docs, you kind of have to have a little bit of a queue lined up. You did Marlon, you did Belushi. Are there other performers or other folks that we would know that you're thinking about doing a doc with?
Well, I'm finishing a film as we speak about Billie Eilish. I spent a year filming with her, and that film is going to premiere on Apple TV Plus in February, and it's also going to be in theaters. We're really excited about it. It's called The World's a Little Blurry.
She's a really unique talent, right? Like the little I know of her, like so young and so much, I don't know, old soul, I guess, or something.
Yeah, very special. You know, we're not. I'm still finishing the film, so we're not really talking about it. But you know, you can imagine it was an honor to experience it all and spend the year with her. And I'm really excited about, you know, sharing the film with the world in February.
Gina,
quick Billie Eilish question, just because I've heard this, but I'm wondering if you can confirm it. And if not, that's fine, too. But I love the lore around hearing that when she and her brother were collaborating in their house, they would go in her mom's room, in the parents' room, and the mom would sleep on the couch just to give them room to record and to really, you know, have the space. Is that, can you confirm that?
Well, come watch the movie in February.
Okay. I can't wait. I love the idea of this being the family business and everyone really believing in each other's talents.
Well, I as I say, I look forward to your seeing the film.
Absolutely.
Hopefully theaters out here in February. It's a crazy thing because we're out in California, so the notion of going back into a movie theater seems bizarre but insanely alluring. Like, out of all the stuff I really missed with this thing, it's going and seeing a movie in a theater and having that shared experience. And so hopefully by February out here, where are you zooming in from, RJ?
I'm in Los Angeles as well.
Oh, okay. And, so hopefully you'll be able to go in the theater as well. What, as far as Belushi, the human being, what were some of your takeaways after combing through all this footage and letters and getting to know him probably better than anybody?
Well, I'll share three what I think are iconic moments from his life that reveal the person. At 3 years old, he used to walk around the neighborhood knocking on the neighbor's door. And if you were home and you answered the door, little John Belushi from down the block would come into your living room and put on a show for you. So that's one. You think about that, what kind of a three-year-old that is. The next image is that from the earliest age, they say when you invited John Belushi to come somewhere, he'd show up with 9 other people, no matter what it was. You invited him to football practice, he'd come and he'd have an offensive line with him. You'd invite him to play, to be in the show, he'd show up and you'd have to find parts for 9 other people. You asked him to be the drummer in your band, he'd show up and he'd bring his own audience. This was John Belushi. He was always gathering people. And then the third thing is, people don't really realize this, but you know, John was the director of the National Lampoon Radio Hour. And as such, he gathered together people like Harold Ramis and Gilda Radner and Bill Murray and Brian Doyle Murray for the first time in their lives. And he had, during that process, though he wasn't part of the Radio Hour, he became best friends with Dan Aykroyd. And those folks worked together and spent time together and formed a sense of humor together and a sense of really, I think, destiny together that became the foundation of Saturday Night Live. And for all of the credit that is appropriately due to Lorne Michaels for what Saturday Night Live was, is, became, has been, will always be this cultural, monument, it was John Belushi who first got that gang together. And if you think of those three things, I think you start to get a picture of the man that's pretty special and unique. He was a visionary. He was more than a anarchic performer. He was really somebody who saw into the artistic and comedic soul of others. And together, he and his dear friends created some extraordinary things.
Did you try to run down Bill Murray for this thing? I know he's pretty elusive or hard to get hold of, but there must have been attempts to get hold of him. Were you able to do that?
Well, as I say, once I kind of decided on my process, which was to rely on the treasure trove of tapes that were recorded decades ago, with the exception of Judy Belushi, I didn't even pursue any other contemporary interviews. It wasn't my goal. I wanted to hear the voices then. Judy was different because her interviews kind of form the narrative spine of the film. It's a love story too. So I did not ask Mr. Murray for his participation, but I hope he has seen or will see the film, and I'd love to know what he thinks.
I bet he will. And I wouldn't even know how to begin to contact Bill Murray, because I hear he doesn't even have people, and maybe he carries a burner phone around. I have no idea how one would.
I don't know. I remember reading an article once about a director who wanted to track him down for a film and had to leave a voicemail somewhere. And then one day his phone rang, and it was, he got him. He got him for his film.
It's an interesting doc.
I don't know. I don't know any of that.
I was just going to say, the whatever that Bill Murray doc is kind of an interesting doc as well, if people like docs. Yeah. Yes, Brian. Yeah,
yeah. In the wake of the Rotten Tomatoes game from 2 or 3 weeks ago when we did Garfield, and everyone was like, how did Bill Murray get roped into Garfield? Must have been a cash grab. People had tweeted me, I did not realize the story. Bill Murray took the role because the screenplay that showed up on his desk said, written by Joel Cohen. It's like, oh, I love the Coen brothers, I'll do this. Turns out it was a different guy, and he didn't bother researching who it was.
Yeah, not a bad idea if you're going to go into the screenwriting business to change your name to Joel and Ethan Cohen.
Yeah, if you make your middle name and Ethan. And then it'll work. Yeah. All right. Well, let me give a plug. Belushi is the name of the doc. It'll be available. Well, it is available now on Showtime. And you can shoot R.J. Cutler a tweet at R.J. Cutler as well. And then we'll look forward to the Billie Eilish one coming into theaters February 14th, maybe? And Apple TV as well?
Apple TV Plus, February is the month. And right. We're very excited.
Well, I can read that you're very proud of that piece and excited about it. And I couldn't imagine a more interesting young subject. I mean, I don't know. Most of the time, documentaries about people under 25 are sometimes not that interesting because there wasn't that much life there. But Billie Eilish has got to be 19 and a half or something. But so much. It just seems like there's so much there.
Come see the movie.
All right. We're not going to step
Apple
on
TV
anything.
Plus.
Thanks, RJ Cutler. We appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. Great to see you.
All right, let me hit Solo Stove, and then we'll do the news. Whether you're camping in the woods or hanging out in the backyard, nothing like a roaring fire. Solo Stove is a really nice piece. Stainless steel. They do fire pits and stoves engineered for adventure. Stainless steel construction designed to regulate airflow and burn more efficiently. So little smoke. You'll a lot of fire, little smoke. And it's a real high quality piece. It's stainless steel. Like it looks like it goes on a jet engine. No campfire smell on the clothes or the hair. Nothing left but the ultra fine ash because it burns so clean. And it's easy to clean up. Portable and built to last. Easy to light with a few bits of starter. Lifetime warranty on every purchase. It is Solo Stove, right, Dawson?
No one needs a reason to gather around the fire. Solo Stove just took away any reason not to. And now you can get $10 off when you use promo code Adam at checkout. Just go to solostove.com. And remember, you get $10 off when you use promo code Adam.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back and do the news right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gino Grad.
Lot going on today. Bill Cosby's lawyers were in Pennsylvania's Supreme Court asking the judge to throw out the 83-year-old sex assault conviction. Lawyers for Cosby, who's more than 2 years into his sentence, doesn't feel like it's been that long, for drugging and molesting a woman, believe that there was certain evidence and testimony in the 2018 trial that the judge should not have allowed, including testimony from five other accusers. Arguments in court streamed live on YouTube. I watched it. It was pretty boring and a little choppy, but I thought that was interesting. And it's probably what Brian's laughing at, but it's not like, wait, we didn't get to talk about this thing that would have exonerated him. They just didn't like that they said too much.
Right.
Yeah. There's a lot of that. It's sad. I mean, it's like, I'm always kind of torn because on one hand, like you want a system. On the other hand, when Nicole Brown Simpson is calling 911 screaming, he's going to kill me, a month before we find her with her head chopped off, and they go, that's inadmissible. I go, mm-hmm. I don't know.
Feels material.
Feels like I feel colored by it. I feel as if that would inform me. By the same token, if you can present me with a home video of these two canoodling in the corner watching their kids' basketball game a week earlier, that would also affect me in a different way. Mm-hmm. Sure. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, this seems like it's got to be, you know, just a Hail Mary to what? To appease him? Because nobody's going anywhere?
I can't imagine he's going anywhere. And also, you know, it's an interesting time we're living in, which is nobody can escape the social media and the public opinion. It's like the fog. It's everywhere. It goes under all the doors. It gets into every window. Like it comes down the chimney. Like it cannot be escaped. Mm-hmm. And if you're a judge, or if you're Anthony Fauci, it's going to get to you. And it, and so you think about a job, like you think about, I can't remember what it is. It's a thing that drives Mark Garagos insane, which is the judge that was up north that I think presided over the case of the Stanford or Cal kind of date rape thing, like the chick was overserved and kind of passed out, and then some guy came up on her, and I'm not sure. I don't know if he raped her or what he was doing. I don't know if there was intercourse, or I don't know what he did. He sexually assaulted her. And then the judge on the case said, well, here's the mandatory minimums or whatever as prescribed by the judicial whatever. And he gave it to the guy, and they didn't like it. The crowd didn't like it. The media didn't like it. The social media didn't like it. The fog didn't like it. And that guy got fucking run out. And then I think he ended up getting kicked out of his like tennis club and stuff now. And it's like when they were interviewing or when Fauci was in front of Congress like 5 months ago, and Jim Jordan was saying, all gathering football games, churches, gatherings, outdoor, indoor gatherings, bad. Right. What about protests with Black Lives Matter? And he's like, it's like, well, what about it? That's a gathering. I can't. Well, that's the fog. That's the social media. He doesn't want to get fucking yelled at. So it has penetrated judges and health directors and everybody. It's affected everyone, and it's going to color your, it's going to color the decision making. Fauci's going to say something different because he doesn't want to deal with the fucking mob out there. And if you're the judge and you're going to be the one that's going to free Bill Cosby, you got to think long and hard about that, regardless of whatever technicalities or information coming. You're going to be that guy now. That's going to be you.
And that decision will be around longer than Bill Cosby will. I mean, 83 years old.
Right.
Yeah.
Who is that judge that Garrigus always gets rip shit about this guy because they ran him out of his job as a judge, and then he tried to get a job as a tennis pro, I think, at a country club, and they ran him out of that one too. Right? So, all right, now that guy's got colleagues, right? So the next time a case comes around that involves date rape and you gotta preside over that, are you gonna be thinking about being run out of your fucking livelihood? I'd say you're gonna factor it in.
Yeah.
Well, that's an interesting place, right? That's a little bit of a new world for us. Gina, you have a boxing story?
I do, and it is a weird one. And today's weird sports story is brought to you by Lids. Visit lidsloyal.com/Adam for your 25% off coupon on your next in-store purchase. So there is a crazy Russian boxing story. A 139-pound female mixed martial artist, her name is Darina Madyuk, got into the octagon with a 529-pound man named Grigory Chistyakov. And knocked him.
Is he some guy or is he a sumo wrestler?
You're going to have to see for yourself. Okay. Knocked him out in 90 seconds. There was some controversy even surrounding the fact that these two were in the octagon together. Very bizarre. So here's a clip of the end of the fight. This is after the man had Darina in a headlock for over 40 seconds. So I skipped that part. And this is basically when they break up and she starts wailing on him.
Даже непонятно, как называть их. Наверное, да, правильно будет все-таки говорить бойцов из уважения. Благодарю, Маздюк, очень отчаянная девушка. Ой, пропускает голову, Гришу полнотного добивания в партере.
Близко к финишу, Дарина.
Все от того, чтобы выиграть этот исторический бой.
Но времени не торопится останавливать, потому что огромные плечи. Стучи сам, Гриша. Остановка боя. Теоретический нокаут в этом странном.
I got to beat off.
That's one of those guys that once you get on the ground, it's pretty much over. He's not getting back up.
I think if he gets on the ground on a tile floor in his entry hall, it's pretty much over.
That's what I meant, just on the ground anywhere.
Yeah, if he's not wearing one of those medic alert necklaces, that guy ends up on the ground. He ain't moving.
That's that.
That's a lot of dude.
Yeah, and it was pretty funny to see him sort of walk around in a headlock for a while, but it went on for so long, I just figured we'd show you the end of the fight. But he had her in a pretty good headlock against the cage.
Was that in Russia, you were saying?
It was.
I always,
even there, people were disturbed that they let this woman fight this man.
It's kind of weird in Russia, like with events like this. Like, what year is it? Is this the future or is this the past? Where are we? I could make an argument for the past and the future.
Correct.
It's like Star Wars. Yeah, if you're making, like, is it the future or is it the past?
If you're making,
long time ago.
This would be the event that was taking place in the background of some Blade Runner Part 7 movie.
Yes.
This would be the sporting event. You know, it's never
100%.
It's never Canadian football. You can visit lidsloyal.com/Adam for your 25% off coupon on your next in-store purchase. All right. What else we got, Gina Grant?
Laverne Cox, you probably know her best from starring in Orange is the New Black, says she and a friend were attacked in a park near her Los Angeles home. This is Griffith Park for you locals. And that the assault was an anti-transgender hate crime. She says...
It's a Jussie Smollett situation.
I was wondering what the over-under was on somebody saying that because... Listen up.
I don't know anything about it, but when I hear attacked, I no longer think attacked anymore.
Well, in this case, she does claim it got physical, but that's all we know.
Well,
we don't,
physical.
There's no footage.
I mean, see, this is kind of our problem with changing all the verbiage all the time. Like, if you were attacked in a park, you were attacked in a park. Like when
throwing punches.
Right. And somebody's going to have a black eye and like a split open lip and a torn blouse or whatever. But let's figure it out.
Well, this is where things may get hinky again. I don't know. I'm just reporting what she said. So she was in Griffith with a friend and she says, we passed this guy and the guy very aggressively asked for the time. He then asked my friend, guy or girl, because I guess it was not obvious, you know, gender wise who she was with. The unnamed friend cursed at the man who began throwing punches, but fled when the actress called 911, but she hung up. That's what she said in her video anyway. So she has an 11-minute video about this. Here's just a very short clip that she posted on Instagram.
The guy aggressively asked for the time.
And then started throwing punches.
He got the time, motherfucker.
Well, basically she said... Hey, what time is it? In whatever way he said it, and they gave him the time, and then he looked at the friend and said, guy or girl. The friend said, fuck off, and then the guy started throwing punches.
To be fair to him, when you get the time, you got to know whether it's from a man or a woman, because women are late all the time, you know?
Add 10 minutes. Yeah.
So you got to add 10 minutes. So that's a factor.
It's good science.
I would also argue if you're wandering through Griffith Park on any given day, you don't need to know what time it is. Like, I got to make that board of directors meeting coming up in, I got to be out in Century City. Got to get to the penthouse. It's a shareholder's thing. I got to be there
by 11 p.m.
Yeah. Start.
Well, here's a snippet of the video.
It was just really, really weird. And like, I'm having these moments of like, should I have like recorded him? Should I have like, and this is all like, and when this stuff happens, it's so quick. And it's just like, wow. Mm. But I'm safe. My friend is fine. The guy, like, you know.
Well, hold on a second. If you're safe and your friend is fine, why are we watching this fucking video? Why did you make a video? You're safe. Your friend is fine. You encounter a weird dude in a park. Oh, why is Laverne Cox?
Transgender.
Oh. Okay.
Born a man and identifies as a woman.
Okay. Correct. Here we go. Sorry, we'll continue.
The guy, like, you know, left after my friend de-escalated it. Thank you so much. I always said thank you to my friend.
By telling him to fuck off?
Keep him anonymous. my goodness gracious. Wow, it's not safe.
His friend would be a horrible hostage negotiator. Slit the kid's throat. I'm hungry.
But he's stuck in there. He's crying.
All right. De-escalation. All right.
Is this psych?
Wow, it's not safe in the world. And I don't like to think about that a lot, but it is the truth. It's the truth, and it's not safe if you're a trans person, obviously.
How does one know this person's a trans person? They seem to be a pretty good-looking female.
I was going to say, to Laverne's credit, if you have to ask, good
for
her. Yeah,
I mean, it's this. There's so much of this going on where it's like they were against a trans person or against a black person or against a Hispanic woman or something. It's like a lot of these people, I wouldn't know your nationality. Like, there's a lot of sort of middle-aged women who kind of do their hair up in the same way. I would have no idea if you're Hispanic or Middle Eastern or black, like a lot of it. And if you're doing a very nice job, especially at the park, especially with some dude who is probably, you know, a couple of sheets to the wind, you know, or had fentanyl in him or whatever the fuck it was, I don't know how you would know that was a transgendered person. I don't think he was.
We don't know about this person friend she was with. And again, you know, we talked about this when it happened. How are we to say, you know, we're going to look at every story now with a, thank you, Jesse.
Yes. Today, Ellen Page announced she's transgender. Oh, sorry. Chris didn't know.
Kill Chris.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Wait, what? Good producing instincts.
Yeah. Ellen Page. Go ahead,
Gina.
It was
not in the news you sent me today.
Because it broke right after I sent it to you. It didn't have any elements to it, so I didn't think I had to send it to you.
No reason to kill me.
Hey, Chris.
Now Elliot.
Just because I saw it on TMZ last night, keep track of that auction that's coming up with the Cruise Top Gun helmet and stuff. Okay. I can't remember when that thing's going off, but we should keep after that. Sorry, Ellen Page.
Ellen is now Elliot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to know how to describe because Elliot says they are transgender and identify as non-binary, but use the pronouns he and they. So I'm in a little bit of a corn maze on how to refer to Elliot. So I will just say Elliot. And Paige asked for Paige. They did a long statement online, and part of it asked for patience right now. Paige says, despite feeling profoundly happy and knowing how much privilege I carry, I'm also scared. I'm scared of the invasiveness, the hate, the jokes, and the violence.
Griffith Park too.
That's right.
I don't know. Then maybe if you're scared of repercussions, then why are you announcing it? Like, why not just get on with your life? A lot of too many proclamations, I've noticed. Like, if you're transitioning, then transition. I feel, but she's a public figure. I guess people would want to know. I know she worked. Much recently? What's some of the most recent stuff?
She's in a show that I do not watch called The Umbrella Academy.
Yes.
Oh, that. Mm-hmm.
And X-Men, Juno. What was the big
Inception.
One?
Inception.
Inception. Thank you.
Has it been 10 years since Juno?
Oh, well more than that.
Well more? That's crazy.
Juno is like 2004-ish?
Funny because in my old dude mind, Juno feels like a newish movie to me. Not new, 07. But and it doesn't feel new to me, but it's amongst the newish movies in my old guy head.
But I think, you know, as you talk about control the language, this is a very interesting one because like I said, if you consider yourself transgender and non-binary and want to use the pronoun preferences he and they, then that's confusing.
Casting a wide net.
Yeah. My best.
Like Prince used to go by the artist formerly known as Prince. Could we just do the artist formerly known as Ellen Page?
I'd be down with that.
Yeah.
The Ellen formerly known as Page.
This stuff is...
Chris, I'm going to yell at you.
It's so fucking stifling. Like, you just go, I wouldn't know what to say. I'd be scared to discuss Elliot Page. Like, I'd be scared to bring it up. I'd be scared to talk in front of them. And it's this weird kind of a language control, which ends up stifling people. It's up there with giving your kid a bizarre name that no one can pronounce. It's up there with putting all your pronouns out there, like all, and everyone's got something different, and now everyone's on eggshells, and the next, you know, everyone's scared to talk. All right, let me hit Geico here. Do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other. Want to bundle those policies with Geico? Make it easy. Go to geico.com. You take your renter's insurance or your homeowner's insurance along with your auto policy, and you put it together, and you save a bunch of money when you go to Geico. Time. You get a quote, see how much you could save at geico.com. What else we got, Gina Grant?
Well, before we move on from that, a quick piece of trivia that, I mean, I guess you could call it stunt casting, but it was perfect. If I'm not mistaken, when, I don't know if any of you ever watched even a single episode of Orange is the New Black. I like the first couple episodes. I haven't watched it in a while. But when they were showing everyone's backstory and they showed Laverne Cox's backstory as a man, that I was like, damn, that's, I didn't, okay, so she does full drag, I guess, because that is obviously her in this, you know, recreation backstory, whatever. No, Laverne Cox has a twin brother, and they hired the twin to play her former self on the show. Mm. And I remember being very intrigued by that, yeah.
It's a good idea. It's Forrest Gump-esque?
It was Tom Hanks' brother who did the running scenes, I'm almost positive.
Really? I never heard that.
Unless I'm remembering something wrong, which is totally possible. I have a brain tumor. Chris, look that up. I'm pretty sure that there were like some exterior long shots of Forrest running that were his brother.
Mm. Wow.
That is correct.
Pretty sure.
That's correct.
Wow.
I'm back.
Did not know that.
Jim Hanks.
Let's recreate that conversation. I'll be, Brian, you be Jim Hanks. I'll be Tom Hanks.
Hey, Tommy, what's happening?
I'm just here on the set working on one of my many, 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 many films. How's that school play going you're directing?
Oh, really well. The kids, you know, it's a little choppy. They're 14 after all, but coming together.
Man of La Mancha, that's a handful for a 14-year-old, I got to tell you.
It's a lot, but these are good. These are smart kids.
Sorry I couldn't have come out there, and I know you wanted me to come out there and kind of give him a pep talk before opening night, but Rita had, you know, Clooney and wanted to come by, and you know, we had a couple of those Hornitos. What do we have? We had a couple of those tequilas.
Casamigos.
Oh, I got so buzzed.
So smooth.
I forgot. Yeah. How's the Herbalife treating you? Is that
good?
Is making some cash?
Moving some units. I mean, it's breaking even. You got to pay in, obviously, for the product. But I think as more and more of my contacts or clients, as we call them, spread the word, I'll be above water in no time.
Mm. How are your joints?
Much improved. Much improved. You know how stiff I was.
Yeah, I know, after that skiing thing. You never paid me back for that vacation, by the way. But anyway, that's not why I called.
A gift. Okay. Yeah,
you know, not everything you get on Christmas Day in an envelope is a gift per se, but that may be on my assistant. Maybe I didn't have Gerald make it clear. So your joints are good.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. Lubricated. Yeah. Moving good. Yeah. Look at that.
Back to the same form you had when you set the state 440 championship in high school.
Well, I don't know about that, but I can run a little bit. I can get on the road.
Well, listen, in the past, I've kicked down a little cash for you for running errands for me and Rita, of course.
Have I mentioned how much I appreciate that?
Well, now I got a role for you.
And
it's a
kidding.
big movie.
Wow.
Very important on-screen role.
I'm honored. I can't wait to hear more about it. Is it a role I'm going to have to prepare for? Or?
Stretch out in the morning. How are your acting chops these days?
As good as ever. You take that
perfect.
For what it's worth.
Okay, got it. That's what I thought. Will do. All right, do you have those dolphin shorts and those Nikes I bought you in 1982?
It's a prized possession. Of course I do.
Why don't you bust those out of the humidifier and just come meet us out on the set. We're shooting out in Louisiana.
Does this have something to do with the role?
It's got something to do with the run.
Okay.
There's a lot of sprinting in this movie.
Oh, it's like a Chariots of Fire kind of remake situation?
It's more running from bullies, running to get to your girlfriend who's riddled with AIDS, running from your past, running to a shrimp boat. So it's a lot of running.
It's a lot of metaphors going on here. Is this going to be shown on screen?
It's going to be a big movie.
Okay,
big movie. And speaking of running, I need to run lines. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I understand. I assume maybe we can run them together. Do we share any scenes?
You wear my clothes.
In the same. We're like matching. We're twins. That'll work.
No. I give you my clothes. We're not the same. You know, you've always wanted to be me.
I don't know if that's necessary.
Come on now. All right. You're going to get your chance. And
happy day.
We're going to give you $65 a mile.
I don't want to run errands. I mean, I don't really.
No. We'll be filming you. Just be running your ass off.
Is this for a behind the scenes, like, you know, featurette about the making of the movie?
You know, you always been talking about dropping that last 15.
It's all yours, yeah, hanging around here for the last 10 years.
You're gonna come home as an Ethiopian.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. I'm gonna send you a coach one way ticket on Spirit Airline to land out in Louisiana Tuesday.
One way? How am I gonna get home?
Well, you run. What's that, Rita? Oh, Kalini's here again. All right, I gotta roll. We gotta drink the Casamigos.
All right, good talking to you, bro.
Yeah, adios. And see. Thank you. Tom Hanks can't be a dick. That's the problem with that recreation.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Picture on screen of Jim and Tom.
They are the same. I mean, the picture's old, but they're the same dude, right?
Yeah, and that Jim also, around. Yeah.
Jim also does voice work for Tom. He does Woody in like for toys and video games.
Really?
I've heard him several times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sloppy Seconds Tom. Not a bad
this
job.
This is like your cyber, Adam. Like, well, you don't want to do the gig.
Ryan, what are you going to do about that?
There was a guy who got really famous for doing just Eddie Murphy as the donkey in the whole Shrek franchise for McDonald's.
Oh,
for,
really?
You know, cartoons. Yeah, there's a market for that. You know, if Eddie Murphy doesn't want to do it, there's somebody else that can pick it up easily.
That makes sense. All right, let's do one more, Gina Grant.
All right. Well, you don't want to come between a man and his Thanksgiving leftovers, and you certainly don't want to do it without a fork, because a Chicago man has been charged with murder after a fatal fight that began when he began digging his hands into the Thanksgiving leftovers, according to authorities. Fox News reports that 28-year-old James Dixon is charged with killing his 52-year-old
baby doll.
Vincel Jackson, who was the boyfriend of the Thanksgiving party host. Jackson was trying to escort Dixon out of the house because he put his hands in the leftovers on Friday. The fight moved to the porch, where Jackson was stabbed at least 9 times.
Definitely not a Jew.
Yeah.
9 times.
9 times.
9 times.
Dixon fled but was caught with a blood-covered knife.
Oh, they had that smoking gun in his hand?
Yeah, the turkey knife.
Right.
Defense attorney Patrick Ryan said Dixon was properly defending himself. A judge set bond at $350,000.
Here's what I know about eating leftovers with your hands. You have to be drunk. That is eating food with your hands is a drunken move, and eating leftovers, like when you're reaching, we've all done it. You got the good buzz going. You go, fuck, I'm just getting a handful of congealed stuffing in here. Yeah.
Indeed.
Eating with your hands is a drunken move. So I can tell you alcohol was a big part of that skirmish.
Oh, is that how the fight moved onto the porch and then somebody got stabbed 9 times?
Whenever something moves onto the porch, it always involves booze as well. Especially
sex. You know
sex.
What I really...
Yes.
This is going to be disgusting, but I'm going to say it anyway. You know what I really miss eating with my hands because I don't eat it anymore? I miss the next day or 2 days after the container of cold spaghetti and pinching a couple strands and just like lowering them into your mouth. I miss eating spaghetti with my hands.
Mm. All right.
That was the best move.
Let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
Well, last but not least, Simply Safe. Break-ins on the rise during the holidays. Simply Safe's having a huge holiday sale. 40% off all systems and free security camera. So go to simplysafe.com/Adam. We all use it here. They're a great sponsor and a great company. That's simplysafe.com/Adam. We're going to have Johnny Brennan from the Jerky Boys on tomorrow, which is the Jerky Boys are very interesting to me because before there was social media and the internet, there were the Jerky Boys who were on the East Coast, and my roommate Ralph in La Cañada or La Crescenta had a Jerky Boys tape.
Yeah. Like,
somehow this stuff just went stuff. It's going to be weird explaining to my kids how stuff went viral before there was veins.
Yeah.
Hold on.
It's good.
Thank you.
Analog viral.
So we'll get into that tomorrow. You can go to adamcarolla.com for all the live shows. Naples, Florida, Burbank coming up, Oklahoma City as well. And again, you can also check out Chassis and see some of my docs, two S's and a Y. So until next time, I want to thank RJ Cutler and Gina Grad and Dawson and Bald Brian saying mahalo.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And pick up Adam's book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. It's available everywhere in all formats. The links are at adamcarolla.com.
Hey, movie lovers, who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.